I'd like to turn now to Romans chapter 12, the book of Romans and chapter 12, and I'd like to read from verse 1. In the Bibles that we have, page 1363, page 1363, Romans chapter 12, reading verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your intelligent service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace which has been given to me, to everyone that is among you, not to have high thoughts above what he should think, but to think so as to be wise, as God has dealt to each a measure of faith. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us this short reading from his word, and I'll be quoting from other scriptures as we go along. Romans 12 verses 1 to 2, it's a great challenge, isn't it, to every one of us. It's a great challenge, isn't it? And the first part of this passage that we read together is really drawing on the amazing grace of God. It says, by the compassions of God. It's one of the great songs is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. It was John Newton, who was a slave trader back in the 18th century. And his life was as far away from God as you could imagine. He was involved in all kinds of disobedience and rebellion and immorality. But he came to realize one day that he needed a saviour. He gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And later he wrote that hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And he could describe himself as truly a wretch. He said, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. I wonder, do you have that experience? Could you say that I once was blind, but now I see? That's the experience of many of us here tonight, that there has been a time in our lives. It might have been when we were small children. In my case, it was at the age of 6 years that I trusted in the Lord Jesus as my own saviour. For some, it may be when they're a little older, and the Lord, through the word of God, through many other means, when we give out a tract, people have come to Christ through reading a Christian tract or leaflet or an evangelistic book. Others have come to Christ, like my father. It was through reading a book, and then one night he came under conviction of sin. He got up out of bed in the middle of the night and confessed his sins to God, became a Christian. Whichever way we came to Christ, if we're Christians tonight, if we've trusted in the Lord Jesus at some time in our lives, then we can say, as the Apostle Paul wrote, by the compassions of God. We are blessed by the compassions of God. The compassions of God are seen in the cross of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I preach Christ and him crucified. Why do Christians make so much of the cross? Why do we glory, as the Apostle Paul said, in the cross? It's because it's there that the mercies and the compassion of God are most displayed. As Jesus said in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To perish is to die eternally, forever and ever. The Bible speaks about a place called hell, and no one likes to talk about hell, except it's used in our society as a curse word or a swear word. And yet it's very real, because Jesus spoke more about hell, about everlasting punishment, than perhaps anyone else in the New Testament, because they preach faithfully this same gospel. And yet Jesus warned about the danger of being on the broad road that leads to destruction. And so the only way we can find forgiveness, and as Matthew does in his testimony, and as I and many others who are here tonight have discovered, that we could have peace with God, we could know that our sins were forgiven, because we trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the compassions of God. And then I want to speak about something which is not directly referred to in these verses, but it says to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I want to call this the abundant life, because Jesus said, and you know, I'm referring to another scripture, of course, because it's not in Romans 12, but Jesus said, I am come that men may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. That means life in all its fullness. Most people are living rather like zombies, living dead, if you like, because people go into all the pleasures of this world. People look for excitement, as Brother Matthew Dust was saying before he became a Christian, through alcohol, through some other excitement. But the only real fulfillment in life can only be found through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins, because Jesus is also the creator. He is also the living God, maker of heaven and earth. We read in John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. This is the Jesus who came into the world and died on the cross. Jesus who became our Saviour. The name Jesus means he shall save his people from their sins. I had a call the other day on my door, and I'm sure you've had the same a number of times in your lifetime, where two men were standing on the door, and they said, I forget how they began their introduction, but they were Jehovah's Witnesses. I asked them straight away who they were. I always like to know who people are actually representing. Not so long ago, it was a fundamentalist Baptist group that came to the door on a Sunday afternoon. Had a long discussion with them. But when the so-called JWs came, they're not really witnesses of Jehovah. Jehovah means the eternal God whom we worship. They're not true witnesses of him. But they don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe that he is equal with God. And so we had a long discussion along those lines, and I showed them scriptures. And then they parted very politely. And the tragedy is that they don't recognize who Jesus is. And many people in the world don't recognize who Jesus is. But in order to know Jesus, we have to recognize that he is God. He is the eternal God. And the one who was promised from the days of the Old Testament, from the days of old. And he's the God who is worshipped by all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many gods in the world. My friends from India will tell you, if you go to India and the part of India where they come from, there is much idolatry where people are worshipping, openly bowing down and worshipping many different gods. But in our Western culture and society, people are worshipping other kinds of gods, like the god of what the Bible calls mammon or money, wealth, material things. And yet all this can crash, disappear in a moment. We're living in a time when perhaps one of the most precarious times in history since the Second World War, when the whole global economy is teetering, we're told by the experts. And we only have to look at the evidence to see that energy prices are going up, that there's an energy crisis, and we could see inflation out of control. And of course, this is all part of what it's leading up to in these last days of the world in which we live. And we have to be those who are prepared. And we can only really be prepared if we have peace with God in our hearts, and if we know the peace of God in our lives, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why I speak about the abundant life, because as I said, Jesus said, I have come that men may have life and that they may have it in all its fullness. Let me ask you this question this evening. You can ask in the quietness of your own heart, do I have this abundant life? What do we mean by abundant? It means life in all its fullness. It means life to the full, if you like, because when we come to know the Lord Jesus, then we become complete. We become the people that God wanted us to be. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're living under condemnation. We're living in sin. We're breaking God's laws. And the anger and the judgment of God is upon us. I've been reading recently and studying the history of some of the great Christian revivals that took place, where the Spirit of God was poured out. And in some places, hundreds of thousands came to know the Lord Jesus Christ within a very short period of time. And one of the things that I read, one of the men that God used in days of revival in America was a man who said that when preaching the gospel and witnessing to the unconverted, we have to recognize that they are loved by God, but at the same time, their sin is an abomination to God. He said we mustn't let anyone feel comfortable in their sin. We can't just say God loves you without addressing the sin question, because sin has to be dealt with. And this brings us on to the next thing that we find in this verse, which is the word holy. The word holy, it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, because to live the abundant life that I was talking about, we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And God requires holiness. What does holiness mean? It means, well, we can use the word righteousness, of course, although the word strictly, I believe, has to do with separation. It has to do with what we sometimes call the otherness of God. That God is utterly separate from everything else, from everything that contaminates. When Isaiah had this great vision of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 6, he cried, or rather, I'll just turn to the passage just to make sure that I get this right. In Isaiah chapter 6. It yes, it wasn't Isaiah who said, that's verse 3, it wasn't Isaiah who said holy, it was, there were the seraphims that had six wings, and it says one called to the other and said, holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And of course, Isaiah's response was to say, woe unto me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts. Our God is so holy, he cannot look upon sin. He cannot look upon our disobedience, our rebellion, our transgressions, the wicked deeds we've done, the wrong thoughts that you think, wrong actions, wrong words, words that you wish you had never spoken, which have caused enormous upset to someone, deeds that you have done, and the deeds of omission as well, those things where we had the opportunity to do good and we haven't done that, that also is sin in the sight of God. And God is very merciful and very gracious, but he cannot and he will not look upon sin. He would judge that. And so if we have guilt in our hearts tonight, if we have a guilty conscience, it's because we need the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Mm. Now the Christian, the one who is born again of the Holy Spirit, is of course tempted to sin continually, because Satan is described as our enemy, our adversary. The Bible says that he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Satan is no one's real friend. He's the enemy of mankind. And Satan's determination, Satan is bent on destroying the lives of Christians and destroying the world because he hates God. And I think it may have been Spurgeon, or a great preacher, who said that it's like if someone hates someone, they destroy the things that are most precious to them. And Satan seeks to destroy that which is most precious to God, as it were, the apple of God's eye. And that's why Satan is bent on destroying your life and mine. But when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have our sins forgiven. We can then be what Paul describes in Romans 12 as acceptable to God, which he says is your intelligent service. When we become a Christian, or when, having already been born again, as many of us have, we yield our lives afresh to God, we present our bodies afresh to God, because this is what Paul was challenging the believers to do in the book of Romans, then we are acceptable to God, not because of ourselves, but because of what Jesus has done. Because Jesus took the punishment that we deserved. He bore our sins so that we could have everlasting life. And we can be acceptable to God. We can have a guilty conscience cleansed. When we first become a Christian, that guilty conscience is all washed away and we go free. Jesus said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And for the Christian who has already been on the road and is serving the Lord, as many of us are, seeking to serve the Lord day by day, we need to come continually for that cleansing. There's a verse in the first epistle of John that says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It says, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brother Masidas was talking about the faithfulness of God to him. And I always think of Brother Masidas as a faithful brother that has served the Lord faithfully over many, many years in a very difficult part of the world. And when God calls you and I to his service and to be his children, and as a man was singing, to follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus, then the God who is faithful calls us to be faithful. Mm. And part of our obedience is what the apostle describes here as your intelligent service. Or we could say reasonable or rational or logical. It's the only logical response to a God who has shown us such great love. I spoke on a previous occasion about Count Zinzendorf, the Moravian, who God used in revival in the 1700s. And how one day when he was a young man, he saw this beautiful painting of Christ, and I believe it had the inscription underneath, "I did all this for you, what have you done for me?" And that so challenged Count Zinzendorf, who I spoke about on a previous occasion, that he decided, he was so convicted, that he would devote his whole life to the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word to each one of us this evening. Amen.
Amen. Amen.